Deputy Director Deutsch has a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
I did not say drug here.
Don't give me the word donkey. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Very speedy interior, I mean, and a very sloppy, neo-drunken exterior reaction. The symptoms.
Drogeria, u svako drugo nedeljo opovdne na Radio Student.
Jesus, I do seem like I've been beaten in the teeth with some kind of a marsh hammer.
Katamo zrolo na njega.
Si vidi, kakšen ga posežeš puha.
Poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, pozdravljeni v drogeriji. V takem finem objemu cice mice šlagerice ste bili, pol teh elektronskih taktov, te so še zmer v podlagi, razočarati vas moram, ne gremo direkt na droge, ampak ne, zgolj na politiko do drog, vendarle je iztekajoč teden zaznamovan s politiko do drog, tudi prihodnji bo, ne, v prihodnem bodo neke detajle, še se dogovarjali velikani politike do drog, pač oblastniki, ki so tokrat zbrani v Združenih narodih uradu za droge in kriminal, tam sedišče na Dunaju in kot vsako leto, tudi letos v marcu, prvo vrh, ne, najpomembnejša lica, naj se bo ministri, naj se bo kakšni državni sekretarji, kakšne države tudi kakšne manj pomembne like pošljajo tja, ne. Kakšna, ki se želi zares sprememb, ne. Kot Bolivija, na primer, je poslala svojega predsednika tiste 2-3 leta nazaj, ne, če še pomnite. Zdaj ta politika, ne, zdi se, da se stvari spreminjajo, ampak seveda nas opozarja Amerika, da ne toliko, kot bi si želeli, ne. Marsikaj se opozarjalo ob spremembi politike do konoplje in pa omogočanju rekreativne rabe te v Koloradu in Washingtonu, marsikomu marsikaj ni bilo všeč, marsikomu je bila washingtonska, pa ne tega DC, ampak države Washington, različica boljša od tiste v Koloradu, vendarle je ob prodajalnah konoplje za tiste, ki jo kredite zgolj v rekreativne namene, ponujala še prodajalne za tiste, ki jo rabijo v medicinske namene. In še tretja pot je bila seveda tista pot samopreskrbe. Seveda ste si lahko zasadili na svojem vrtu ali pa omari ali kjerkoli bi si že želeli, če bi slučajno živeli v Washingtonu, 9 rastlin konoplje. Ni minilo mnogo mesecev in se je seveda to število zmanjšalo na 6. Ko so zmanjšali število rastlin, ki jih lahko posameznik goji na 6, so se odločili pridodati še klauzulo člen, ne, da bodo vsem skupaj premislili še leta 2019. A je sploh smiselno, da človek goji svojo lastno ganjo? Seveda se lahko nadejamo odločitve tistega leta 2019. No, ni minil mesec in v tej isti državi so se odločili, da zakaj bi pa mi imeli ločene prodajalne konople, zakaj bi eni prodajali unim, ko jo rabijo za zdravstvene namene, ne? Sicer je to tam zelo bolj, veliko bolj široko, ne, kot pri nas, ne, oziroma pri nas še načni, ne, ampak recimo nekje v kakej resni evropski državi, ki omogoča zdravljenje s konopljo, ne, ima tistih nekih, ne vem, 5-10 bolezni, ne, nisem zdaj morda najbolj papirji letajo po pisarni, vetri v zuni. Tam so pa čist prevetrili te sezname, ne, v Ameriki in ni da ni. Ne, pač malo vas boli hrbet, pa bo se seveda šli lahko v ta medical dispensary. No, kar so se odločili v Washingtonu je, da nima smisla, da bi te medical dispensary še imeli, ne. Zatega, ker je fajn, da je zgolj en koncesionar od države, ki prodaja konopljo in še to prodajo za tako dobro trošarino, da ima neki država od tega, ne. Zdaj potrošnik, ne, ali pa uživalec, ne, pa ima zgolj malo bolj tanko denarnico. No, toliko v Washingtonu, toliko v spremembah tam, kakšne spremembe so se godile na Dunaju, pravijo, da resne, korenite, vsaj na ravni diskusije. Seveda potem, ko je bilo treba zapisati to, o čemer se je pogovarjalo, ne, nismo prišli ne za pet dlje kot vsa leta pred tem srečanjem, ne. Tudi tokrat, tudi leta 2014, ko se naveliko govori širom sveta ali pa vsaj v nekaterih države Evrope in kar dobršnem delu držav Latinske Amerike, da takšna politika več ne more iti dalje, si skupek ljudi, predstavnikov držav, podpisnic teh nekih konvencij, 50 let starih, ne zmore priti do konsenza in zapisati eno, pardon izrazu, res kurčevo besedo oziroma dve, zmanjševanje škode. Tudi leta 2014 v dokumentu, ne, tem, okoli katerega so se strinjali, ne, ta besedna zveza ne najde črnila. Ne. Torej, zmanjševanje škode je še zmer nekaj, v kateremu se govori zlo v krivuljah za voljo raznih Švedov, Amerikancov, Rusov, Kitajcev, je treba biti seveda pazljiv, ne, in ne direktno povedati, kaj je najbolj smiselno, ne, ta trenutek, ne, znotraj te politike do drug, ne, namreč zmanjševanje škode, ne, je sicer pomembno vsakokrat, predvsem pa okolj politike do drug, ki vlada svet v zadnjih 50 let, kjer pač znanja ni napretek, ne, in se seveda posamezniki bolj ali manj za srečo v roki polaščajo take ali drugačne droge, kar je seveda še toliko bolj zares zadnjih nekaj let, ne, odkar je tukaj teh novih. Je seveda v tem smislu zmanjševanje škode pomembno. Pa si poslušajmo mi s strani Jamieja Bridgea. Jamie Bridge je direktor za politični oddelek mednarodne organizacije, ki združuje en kup nevladnih organizacij, takih in onakih inštitutov, ki se ukvarjajo predvsem za zmanjševanjem škode in odprtim dialogom na področju drog, torej predstavnik International Drug Policy Consortiuma. Mnogo let so že vsakič poleg, ko poteka srečanje na Dunaju, ali so se vse te velike spremembe, ki so se godile v letu 2013, ne, opomnimo, ne, Nova Zelandija sprejme politiko, ki še bolj zareže v konvencije Združenih narodov, kot pa kakšen Urugvaj za legalizacijo konoplje, ne. Namreč Nova Zelandija sprejme dokument, s katerim sprejme politiko do vseh novih drog, ki narekuje tistim, ki jo želijo prodajati, da opravijo take in onakve raziskave in dokažejo pač neke ravni neškodljivosti oziroma škodljivosti. Ne. Zdaj, moram reči, da me je razočaralo dejstvo, na kakšen način se ta nova uredba izraža. Izraža se predvsem na račun tega, da je že kar lepo število sintetičnih kanabinoidov dovoljenih. Ne? O njih vedno kaj grdega povemo, ne? Lahko znova pač, pa ne bomo zarezali v v dejstvo, zakaj je slabo, zgolj moralizirali in vam rekli, držite se tistega naravnega, čeprav je marsikdaj sintetično tudi dobro, a v tem primeru pač ne. Skratka, namesto, da bi kakšno fino sintetično novo nastalo molekulo dovolili na Novi Zelandiji, ne dovoljujejo sintetične kanabinoide med tem kot teh, s katerimi ima človeštvo izkušnjo že tisočletja, še zmeraj ne. Ali so te spremembe v kolikršni kol meri vplivale na potek dogajanja v Združenih narodih? Na to vprašanje začne odgovarjati Jamie Bridge.
It definitely has. We see at this meeting this year, we have seen much more discussion about new approaches to drug policy and about reforming drug policy. We've seen many more governments talking about this than ever before, and there's a clear move away from this consensus that used to exist on this war on drugs. And now we have countries actively speaking up and saying that they need to consider a new approach.
Okay, you say there has been a lot of discussion, but reading through, I can admit very fast the political declaration that was adopted, that doesn't show, or did I read it too fast?
No, it doesn't, and that's one of the most disappointing things. The governments have been negotiating what they call a joint ministerial statement. They've been negotiating this for 7 months now, and we've been at those negotiations. We've been lucky enough to attend those negotiations, and the debate has been fierce, the debate has been very lively, but the final document, because these governments have to agree things by consensus, the final document has ended up being very watered down and doesn't really reflect the vibrancy of the debate that's been happening.
So, do you foresee that then things could be changing? I think the next important date would be 2016.
We are very hopeful. I mean, the most important thing for us is that we can witness the debate changing and the fact that countries are speaking up. And now it's kind of our focus and then government's focus for the next 2 years up until 2016 to try and make sure that the 2016 process does reflect those debates in a much better way. We're definitely seeing a positive trend in drug policies. It's disappointing that the outcome document this year does not reflect that, but there's definitely, if you listen to the actual debates and the statements that countries have made, we are definitely seeing a move in the right direction.
Okay, can you please explain also for our listeners what kind of meaning 2016 has for the United Nations and for the international policy on drugs?
Of course. The 2016 meeting is what they call a United Nations General Assembly special session. So the General Assembly is the key policy-making forum of the United Nations. It's the most senior kind of agency, the most senior forum within the United Nations structure. So it's right at the top of the tree. And for us to have a special session on drugs, we haven't had one of these since 1998. So it really is quite a rare occurrence. And the reason that we have one in 2016 is because the presidents of various Latin American countries have basically come together and they've said enough is enough. We have to debate this. We have to try and change how we're doing things. We have to take a new approach. And so for us, the UNGAS, as it's called, the General Assembly Special Session, it's a really important opportunity. It's the first time we've managed, you know, we're going to have this debate for several years. And it's a really important chance to have a proper discussion about what is working and what isn't working in the way that the world responds to drugs.
How do you foresee that year 2016? It's becoming quite obvious that many of the producing countries are not too happy with the way things have been going on for the last 50 years. They're eager to move on and change the drug policies. Do you think that the international community is mature enough to change the policies, or do you foresee a large bulk of countries suspending their co-signature to these international conventions, such as has been going on from the part of Bolivia, for instance, in terms of coca leaf?
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as simple as saying that producing countries want to reform and the other countries don't, but certainly Latin American countries are driving this debate at the moment, which is a really positive move. And the reason they're doing that is because Latin American countries, they have felt the impact of this war on drugs more than anyone else. You know, they're the countries that have had to put up with the widespread criminality, the widespread violence related to the drug market, and the drug-related gangs. So they're the ones who really have felt the impact of this war on drugs. But they are supported by a lot of countries from Europe. They are supported by other countries as well. And so I think what we'll see in 2016, there are some countries that want to protect the way that things are done at the moment, and they don't want to see any change. I can't imagine them changing that position before 2016. So the best that we can hope for in 2016 is that this consensus that exists will formally be broken up. You know, there will not be an agreement on how to go forward, because some countries will want to keep going the way we are and keep fighting the war on drugs, countries such as Russia and China. But other countries will be very determined to change the way that we do things, countries such as Bolivia, Uruguay, and also, you know, EU countries, Switzerland, Norway, and others.
Do you see what will the way forward be like? I mean, are we to expect that a lot of countries will now change their policies towards, for instance, cannabis, and then we will wait for another 50 years for a changed policy on crack, for instance, in the States? Probably regulating crack would have much better consequences. ICE, I think it's called, methamphetamine in America, would have much greater consequences on the well-being of the society.
Yeah, I think what we will see is that over the next few years, individual countries will be taking the necessary steps to change the way that they deal with drugs as a country. Uruguay has already done this. We're seeing lots of changes in the USA. Bolivia have already made changes. Portugal have had decriminalization since the year 2000. So I think what we'll see is lots of countries taking action as they see fit for their own, to protect their own populations. And then the United Nations processes will reflect that eventually. It will not, this process of reform will be led by countries who take action because they see the need for action. And it will be reflected in the United Nations debates. It will not be led by the United Nations for countries to then follow. I think it will be the other way around. So what we will see, particularly as you say, at the moment there's a lot of debate about regulation of cannabis. You know, there is a widespread acknowledgement that cannabis is not as harmful as other illegal drugs, and so treating it the same as heroin and crack cocaine is, from a policy perspective, just makes absolutely no sense. But I think we will also see a move for the decriminalization of all drugs, because this is currently allowed within international law, and at the moment we there's a growing recognition now that putting drug users in prison and arresting them and treating them as criminals is having absolutely no positive effect at all, and is just causing a lot of unnecessary harm to these people and to society.
Probably in this regard, China's move to stop sending drug users to detention camps, working camps, is seen as a substantial step forward to that country.
It's one of the many steps forward that we're seeing. The move away from the death penalty for drug offences, a move away from compulsory detention of drug users, a move away from putting drug users in prison and, you know, providing them with treatment instead. You know, all of these are positive moves that aim to improve the lives of the people affected by the world drug problem.
So apart from some European countries and some South or Latin American countries, where are there any how could you describe the rest of the world in terms of progressive policies on this?
I mean, we're certainly seeing that it's the Americas and Europe that are leading this debate. There are many other countries that really don't have aren't really presenting a strong opinion at the moment. So, for example, there's very little engagement in this debate from the African countries, as an example. And then what we tend to see is that in general, the Asian countries seem to be more protective of the existing drug policy approach, you know, the existing war on drugs approach. So we are seeing the likes of Pakistan and India and China and others speaking up, particularly in favor of maintaining the current policies, in, you know, despite the evidence that's quite clear now that these policies just have not had the impact that they were intended to have. So, I mean, it's a very complicated debate, and different countries have different positions on different issues within the drugs field. But overall, I think that is a very broad kind of summary of where the debate is from one region to another.
Okay, just one more question, please. If we move on to content, for instance, harm reduction, what were the main topics with regards to harm reduction at the discussion this year?
So harm reduction has always been a very interesting debate. Obviously, the European Union fully supports the harm reduction approach, but many other governments at the United Nations level, particularly here in Vienna, refuse to accept the words harm reduction in any of their documents. So once again, we now have, you know, the countries have come together, as you've said, they've negotiated a new ministerial statement, and that statement does not contain the words harm reduction, because there's some governments, particularly Russia, who strongly oppose the use of the words harm reduction and strongly oppose the harm reduction approach. And it's a real indictment of the debate in Vienna, because in other parts of the United Nations, harm reduction has become a perfectly acceptable part of policy. So, for example, in Geneva, where the World Health Organization and the World Health Assembly meets, harm reduction can, you know, that term can be used there very openly. Whereas here in Vienna, we find that there's a constant political struggle, an ideological struggle, where some countries refuse to accept the evidence behind the harm reduction approach.
But you say discussions are filled more with sanity and objectivity than with ideology, so we can look forward to documents being adopted that will also include more of that than of the ideology in the future.
We hope so. As more and more countries push for this evidence-based approach, which includes harm reduction, we hope to see this reflected more in the documents that come out of Vienna. It's a slow process. The United Nations moves incredibly slowly on these issues, but we are definitely seeing a move in the right direction.
Vpliva na uporabo drog posredno, neposredno. Zdaj, kar se tiče te visoke politike, ki se bije, ne glih visoke, visoka res ni, je pa politika velikih, ki se bije tam v Ukrajini. Ne? Svoj odziv je naša tudi v Tennesseeju. V Tennesseeju so redneki seveda zelo nevoljni nad dejavnostmi ruskih vojščakov na Krimskem polotoku in v prodajalnah alkohola, ne, je zginila stoličnaja. Zdaj, eni se je sam dal nazaj tja v skladišče do nadaljnega, dokler se ne bo Rusija vnovič obnašala, kot se njim zdi, da je prav, ne? Medtem ko so eni tako razjarjeni in razburjeni, ne, da snimajo YouTube videe, pozivajo medije, naj si jih ogledajo in izlivajo, seveda, stoličnajo na pločnik in ta so tekel v kanalizacijo. Ob tem povedo, da imajo sina, ki je v vojski, da mislijo na njega in da si ne želijo spet izvajati policijskih nalog zaradi takih barbarskih držav, kot je Rusija. Ne? In pač sami počno to, kar lahko, ne? In v tem primeru, ker že prodajajo rusko vodko, jo pač izlivajo in s tem kažejo nek protest proti Rusiji. Zdaj, kar se tiče Amerike, neka širina do tega dejstva, da je treba spremeniti odnos do uživalcev drog, se kaže v zadnjih letih tudi na račun spreminjanja oziroma razmišljanja o spreminjanju kaznovalne politike. Ne. Par sprememb je že bilo sprejetih na zvezni ravni, v njih smo govorili. Ne. Zdaj, najnovejša sprememba, ki si jo pa želi zvezno pravosodje poslati v potrditev v kongresu in senatu in podobno, pa je politika vse droge minus dve. Vse droge minus dve pomeni, ne, da ni zdaj to tako, kot v Italiji, ne, prejšnji teden ali tri tedne nazaj, ko so naredili spet to spremembo na mehke in trde droge, ne, ki jo je pač prečrtu Berlusconi tistega davnega 2006 ali 2007 in zaradi katerega, če si okajen vozil avto, si bil ne ob vozniško dovolenje, ampak kar ob pasuš, ne. No, Američani pravijo, poglejte, kako smo široki, ne spreminjamo zadev samo na področju konoplje, ampak bomo posod spremenili. Ne? In tam vse droge minus dve pomeni, da kakršen kol greh napram zakonu si ti že storil, naj se bo užival, naj se bo posedoval, prekupčeval, proizvajal. Ne? Za vse to že danes obstaja en kup kazni, ne? Zdaj, recimo, v primeru, da ste posedovali kilogram heroina, ne? To pač ni v redu, ne? In če vas zalotijo ob takšni količini te droge, ne? Vam pripada sodba, ne, v imenu ljudstva, ki se piše pod členom 32, recimo. Ne. In da člen 32 pove, ne, da morate vi za to kilo heroina biti v zaporu med 121 in 151 meseci. Ne. In zdaj politika vse droge minus dve pomeni, da tale člen 32 pade na člen 30. Ne. In zdaj nekdo, če to sprejme kongres, ne, ki ima kilo heroina, ne, ne bo sedel od 121 do 151 mesecev, ampak 97 do 121. Ne? To je ta politiko, ki je zdaj predlaga ameriško zvezno pravosodje v potrditev tem njihovim zakonodajalcem. Seveda je treba priznati, da dost na račun tega, da jih na marsikterem področju tare prevelika zasedenost zaporov, ne? Marsikje tudi ne, ne? Marsikje jih tudi veže pogodba z privatnim sektorjem, ne? Koncesionarji, ki upravljajo za zapori, ne? Te pogodbe so sila domiselne, ne? Kajti država, ne, mora podpisati kakšen člen, v katermu se tudi zaveže, da bo ta zapor zafilan, ne? Torej, koncesionarju seveda ne splača živeti v družbi, kjer ljudje ne bodo za brez zveze kriminalizirani, če ni dovolj kriminalcev, ki se ukvarjajo z resnim kriminalom oziroma resnim teženjem sočloveku ali karkoli že, ne, zaradi katerega bi mogel v zaporu pristati. Ne. Tako da, seveda, so te zadeve zelo gibljive, ne, in potem se more verjetno kdaj kakšen Tennessee, ne, odločiti, ne, da bo pa kakšno stvar ne, naredil na mesto, da je prekršek pač kaznivo, ne, ali pa vsaj prekršek, ki zahteva nekaj mesečno sedenje v kehi. Ne. No, tok v Ameriki, pa morda le še vendar le ena beseda v Ameriki, ne, kokain, ne, seveda se droge proučujejo, ne, njih delovanje znotraj telesa, ne, kva vse nagodi, ne, presprašujejo se stari miti, ne, oziroma, kako se temu reče, no, se boste ugotovili, skratka, kokain je stvar, za katero se je, tako kot za amfetamin, govorilo, da pač odganja slo po hrani, ne, da ljudje, ki uživajo pretirano kokain, pač ne jedo dovolj, zaradi tega so suhi, vitki, ne, šlank, ampak raziskava kaže, da v bistvu dobršen del uživalcev heroina, tudi tistih, ki so po DSM-u odvisni od kokaina, ne, uživajo čist dovolj hrane, da pa je kokain takšna molekula, da neki drugega tudi spremeni, ne, ne samo vas odnos do sebe in sveta, ne, ne samo raven energije, ne, ki vas fura, ne, ampak tudi malo spremeni način hrambe maščob, ne, oziroma spremeni do te mere, da se maščobe več ne morejo hraniti. Ker so v enem raziskovalci napisali, da je tudi potrebna velika pozornost, ne, ob prenehanju uživanja kokaina, ne, se veste, alkohol, če stežek, alkoholik, ne, torej leta in leta alkohola ne smeš takoj prenehati, ne, počasi, ne, ali pa vam dajo kakšno drugo snov, ki bo nadomestila alkohol, ne. Zdaj, za kokain, ne, pa ta raziskava še dodatno govori, da je treba postopno prenehati, kaj ti zna se zgoditi, da se bo ta sistem ob pomankanju kokaina spet porušil v glih obratno smer, obratni mehanizmi bodo začeli delovati in vaše maščobe se bodo nalagale v telo veselo, ne, in vi se boste zgolj še širili, ne. Seveda so mediji dosti ostro nastopali proti avtorjem raziskave, češ, pa kaj vi počnete, ne? Kaj ni bilo že dovolj izkušnje 60-ih in 70-ih s tistimi amfetamini, ne? In kako so jih mame uživale zaradi tega, da so bile ponovno vitke, ne? Vi pripravljate raziskavo, ki spet kaže na to, da ne samo, da se manj je, ampak še zagotovi se vitkost, vsled tega, da se maščobe ne morajo nalagati, in potem še poveste odvisnikom, da če že hočejo nehati, naj prenehujejo počasi, pa kaj z vami. Ne, malo so se posuli s pepelom teli raziskovalci, ker zanimivo je brati pač to raziskavo in pa odzive, ki jih je doletela. Karen Ersche pa je avtorica. Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, tok za danes. Politika se nadaljuje, raziskovanje novih drog tudi, o enem in drugem več čez dva tedna. Z vami so bila Željc in Janković. Lep pozdrav.
Sve što trči, htjelo bi da trči, neka trči i treba da trči. Skakati, skakati, lepo je skakati.
Niš mi ni.
Pevati, pevati, lepo je pevati.
Uvjeram se, ali vam treba.
Leteti, leteti, lepo je leteti.
Hajde da se drogiramo.
Nek
se
očisjaje.
Drugi
dan.
Odajal
mali
prostor.
Izmešno,
gospodine.
Tako
je
moj
in
lep
kolima.
Ne.
Jaz sem perti.
živeti, živeti, lepo je živeti.
Magija! Kad god se okrenemo, nova flaša.
Nižbini!
Živeli!